Let's do this. From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. It's the Beer of the Day Podcast. On tonight's program, we feature all beers from Founders Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we have five different beers to try, from IPAs, a Scotch Ale, Porter, and a Breakfast Stout. We also have a strange brew from Stone, and it has some type of elderberries in it. It's going to be pretty strange. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Steve Williamson, Brandon Hofer, and joining us in studio here in Elk Grove, Jeff Miller. Hey, Jeff's here in the flesh.
All right.
I'm so excited to be here. I mean, it's I can't say it's painful, but it's really awesome to be here in person with you guys. I'm looking forward to this.
And you don't have to drink all the beer by yourself tonight.
True that.
Is that the reason?
No, but it's tough. I mean, I sit there by myself and drink these beers, and I drink four times as much as any of you. To do it in person, I'm just looking forward to this tonight.
Anyone try any interesting beers this week?
I had, despite all the hype, I had the Not Your Father's Root Beer, and I wasn't a fan. It was a flat version of root beer. It had alcohol in it, which is great, but...
My first question was going to be, are you a fan of root beer, though?
I am.
Okay.
Andy likes a good sarsaparilla.
But I think that's bad, because if you're a fan of root beer, then it doesn't taste good. It doesn't taste like good root beer.
Because you want the carbonation.
I want the carbonation and that thing going on. But it was like a syrupy version of root beer that had alcohol. I could see why people that don't like beer like it. It's a sweet, you know, it's a sweet bomb is what it is. It's easy to drink. But for me, it was hard because it's so sweet.
Yeah, it's not your style.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at BevMo, and they had a tasting of, I think, two or three different ones. Not just your dad's one, but the other one. I don't know. I think it's not for beer drinkers. It's for people that don't like beer that want to drink something that has the word beer in the name.
It's for college kids.
That's alcoholic.
To try and get the sorority girls drunk off of.
you would know.
And it works.
Any other beers anyone wants to mention?
I had one, and from Hangar 24, I had the Betty IPA, which, you know, I think I've never been a huge fan of this brewery, and several friends have said, oh, you got to try this beer, and, you know, I finally gave in. I had it on tap, had a whole pitcher of it, and I really liked it. I was impressed. It's a high-quality beer. I would recommend it. Hangar 24, I mean, it was tasty. It was one of these well-balanced IPAs. I can't say too much about the other beers from this brewery, but I really like the Betty IPA.
Great. All right, well, let's move into the first beer from Founders All Day IPA. This is their session IPA, and as you would expect, the name means that you can drink this all day long at 4.7%. Less than a Bud Light. No, more than a Bud Light. Less than a Budweiser.
Is it Lagunitas have one called like an all day?
Daytime.
I mean, this is quite the trend.
Firestone has Easy Jack, and Stone has Go To, and
Boulevard has Pop Up Session.
And Sierra Nevada has Nooner
Pills.
I mean, this is all the, you know, all the rage last 2 years, I'd say, is Session IPAs.
And I can understand they're trying to develop a beer that
you can drink all day.
That you can drink all day. That has more flavor than your normal Pilsner lager that you can get, you know, or a macro brew, and that's what they're going for. And I know Andy, for one, has not been a big fan of the style, but
you have to get rid of something in the beer, and typically it's sugar, and you get an unbalanced beer most of the time. I'd rather have a full-bodied Pilsner or a lager. Even though I'm not a huge fan of those styles, if I want something that's easy drinking and low alcohol, I'll have one of those. I don't want an IPA that's been stripped of its manhood.
Well, that's true. You know, on Stone's IP go-to,
They actually use more hops in that beer than any other beer they make.
Right, but where's the sugar? How do, because there's not as much alcohol, they have to take out the sugar that would counteract those hops.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a reason why that they're not all like that. But they have a point. I mean, not everybody can drink these high alcohol beers all day long.
I understand that. It's just, if I'm going to choose a low alcohol beer, I'd rather have a full bodied version.
You'd rather have a Coors Light.
No.
No, but that's the thing, is that versus Coors Light, Bud Light, whatever, I'd rather have one of these session ones any day.
Well, Dallas brings up a good point. Like, I think most of us like IPAs, but we didn't always love IPAs. I mean, when we first started drinking craft beers, IPAs were strong. They were hard to get accustomed to. And I think this is kind of a gateway into the craft beer world of pale ales, IPAs. I mean, some of them are.
I think a lot of them are even a little bit more bitter than the regular IPA, because that's all there is the bitterness.
There's no counteracting.
I think it's almost the opposite. I think it's that it's for people who love IPAs and they want a beer they can drink in the afternoon time
on weekdays,
and they feel like they don't want a Coors Light because they only want to drink an IPA because they're IPA snobs.
But I'd rather have like a Pivo Pils from Firestone or the Hoppy Pils from Lagunitas or something like that than most session IPAs. And they're about the same alcohol level.
I just want to point out, Jeff, you're not at home right now. You can slow. You don't have to chug your beer down.
Holy cow. How was it? I haven't even taken a sip yet.
Right, or have I?
Let's do this by the book here. We have a golden yellow colored beer, white head, one finger. Everyone else's beers has less head
than
me. There
was a good amount, but it dissipated. It kind of bubbled down.
We kind of got on a tangent there.
Did anybody get a little like urinal cake aroma?
No, it has that soapy IPA smell. Smells like laundry detergent.
Soapy piss.
I think it's got the right amount of floral hoppiness in the aroma. It's not overwhelming. It's not super hoppy.
We just talked about beers being a little too bitter in the style. I don't get too much bitterness on this. It's pretty drinkable to me.
There's just like an aqueous quality, like just watery, and that's, you get that a lot with this style, and they all just put me off one way or the other.
Say aqueous again.
Aqueous.
It puts you off, but that turns me on.
I'm kind of with Andy. Like, it's not a bad beer, but there's not a lot of depth to it for me. It doesn't do a lot for me. It's just kind of there, and don't get me wrong. It's not a bad beer, and you know it is very drinkable. It's got a nice clean finish, but there's not a lot that sets it apart from anything else. It's just kind of a bland beer, and I think that's more to the style than anything else.
I'd rather have one normal IPA than two of these.
True. This is really fresh, though. I'm looking at the bottle. Bottled on September 18th, which is pretty fresh. Less than a month ago.
That's pretty good. 3 weeks ago.
I think it's pretty drinkable IPA. I don't get too much of the imbalance that I get on some of these sessions.
I could easily drink a 12-pack of this. It's not the most flavorful beer, but it's drinkable.
It's not as bad as a lot of them.
That's the point of this beer.
It's not as bad as a lot of them. I would not choose to drink it ever.
Okay, I'm going to give you... I have a fridge full of Coors Light and this. What do you drink?
Coors Light.
No.
All right, you're...
Was this a question for everybody?
Is nothing an option?
You shouldn't have to think that long.
No. If you're
no, but that is not me choosing to drink it. That's me being forced to choose.
I'm forcing you to choose.
I wouldn't choose to drink this.
You wouldn't drink anything.
He just said he'd drink Coors Light, but he doesn't want to say it.
No, I wouldn't.
He said I wouldn't drink this. Was his answer?
You just invalidated your whole standing here. All right, let's get into the beer news of the day. Our top story. Well, not really our top story, but a related news story that was big in the last couple weeks. Founders Brewing Company now distributing to California and Nevada.
Yay, Nevada.
The reason that we have five different? One, two,
five.
Three, four. Five different Founders beers is because we can now buy them at pretty much everywhere here at BevMo, at Total Wine & More, at the grocery store. A lot of places have it. And that makes now 37 states that they are distributing to. And we're going to get into the history of Founders a little bit, but they have really improved their standing over the years to the point where in some ratings, they're considered one of the top 10, top five different breweries in the country. And not in volume, but in quality. And they're very highly rated. And so the fact that we can get them here in Northern California has been big news here. I'm on this Sacramento beer enthusiast group on Facebook, and everyone is posting the beers they're buying throughout the Sacramento area. There's 4,000 people in this group, and you would not believe the number of people posting pictures of Founders that they see on the shelves and in their shopping carts and popping them open throughout the week. It's been big news.
I will say I was very excited when I saw that they were going to start distributing in California. When we went to Sierra Nevada last year for their beer festival that they had, it was one of the ones there, and it was definitely one of the better beers that we had had at the festival. So when I saw that they were going to distribute, you know, all their main beers, I was looking forward to it for sure.
I've got a question for the Founders people. You're in 13 countries, but it took you this long to get to California. What's going on there?
I don't know. That it must be like a rhetorical Founders question.
Because I don't have an answer, Steve. Sorry.
I would like an answer, please. Submit your answer to beeroftheday.com.
Feedback@beeroftheday.com.
All right. Well, let's get into the requisite merger and acquisitions talk. The big news this week was SAB Miller rejects InBev deal. $106 billion wasn't enough for them. So that possibility is tabled for now.
Yeah, I still think this matters little to us. At least I don't want to call it in the long run, because I'm sure in the long run it probably has enormous implications, but in the next 10 to 15 years it probably doesn't matter much.
Probably, but I think probably in the next 10 years or 5 years or something like this is probably going to happen.
Got it.
So interjecting here after the fact, on Friday the 9th when we recorded this, the deal was supposedly off. And then it comes out on Tuesday that they actually have agreed to the deal. And so Anheuser-Busch InBev and SAB Miller have reached an agreement for a buyout, $104 billion. So we'll have to see what stands up to regulators. Obviously, there's a lot of antitrust issues created by a company that big, a merger that big. But we'll have to kind of keep an eye on it going forward. All right, let's get back to the podcast as it was on Friday. So we'll keep an eye out for it. Other little news, Dogfish Head, who says they'll never sell, sold 15% to an investment firm, but still maintain their controlling interest and still qualify as a craft brewery. So no harm, no foul there. All right, well, let's move into the next beer. We have the Centennial IPA, the older brother of the All Day IPA. 7.2%. That's a big jump up.
Yeah, this is pretty high for IPA standards of what we're used to. I feel like most of our IPAs are in the 6% range. I mean, 7.2 is not too high by any standards, but it's a little higher than I was expecting.
Color wise, we have kind of a golden color. I like that color. It's kind of a penny from 1979.
And it's super clear, just like the All Day. It's, you know, definitely looks unfiltered. It's not, I mean, it's as crystal clear as you can get.
It looks filtered.
Looks filtered.
That's what I meant. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's not though.
But according to the bottle, it's unfiltered. Which is surprising. Just, you know, I've never seen an unfiltered beer look like that.
Yeah, I just misspoke. I mean, it is as clear as you can possibly get. I mean,
the aromas, you know, it's similar to the All Day IPA. It's got a little bit more malt kick to it. It's got a little bit of that urinal cake thing going on. I don't know if that's proprietary to Founders.
Urinal cake.
Yeah, I get kind of a caramel malty smell. Not a whole lot of hop aroma.
It's kind of an earthy flavor here. It's like dirt, and I don't know what it is, but it's well balanced. It's not hoppy. It's definitely not a West Coast IPA. It's hard to describe some of these flavors, but it is pretty well balanced.
On the nose, you do get a little bit of a floral aroma, but I definitely, for me, what comes through is those earthy notes, like Jeff said. It's, you know, the malts kind of shine through. It doesn't smell like a real hoppy beer compared to what we normally drink here as a West Coast IPA.
It does have a bit of a dirt aftertaste to it, a little dirty.
Are you having some New Belgium?
No.
Andy.
It's kind of got a bitterness on the finish, that lingers pretty good. I don't know what the IBUs are here, but it says here it's a pretty bitter beer.
65, which is surprisingly low, actually.
Yeah, for 7.2%.
I would have guessed 66.
Not for the finish. I mean, the IBU doesn't have an impact on the ABV, but the finish is very bitter to me, and I would have expected 70 plus at least.
I don't think the finish is that bitter. I hate to disagree with you guys, but it's kind of a sweet caramel finish to me.
Oh, no, I get a lot of bitterness.
I get that more up front, and then the bitterness kind of sits on my tongue afterward.
I tend to agree with Dal on that one.
But I don't get a whole lot of alcohol for 7.2%. You know,
no,
if I was drinking this, I'd peg it at like 6.5 tops.
It's rare for us. I mean, it's rare for an IPA to really show its alcohol until it gets up around 9%. Maybe sometimes 8, but usually 9 or 10 is where you start to get the syrupy IPAs. So it's a solid beer. It's great that we get to try it here.
So, I know we kind of talked about this on the last show, but it kind of reminds me of the IPA from Boulevard. It's definitely not a West Coast IPA, but it's not necessarily an East Coast IPA either. It's kind of got characteristics of both. And
it's kind of like right in the middle in Michigan.
Yeah, something like that. But it's you know, it's a good beer. It's enjoyable. I think it's balanced pretty well. But, you know, for me, I've definitely had better IPAs. And I know I might upset some people that are Founders fans, but for my taste, I think, you know, it's a good beer, but it's not one of the best ones I've ever had.
But it's one that I'd be comfortable having in the fridge to have, you know, once in a while.
No, for sure.
Yeah. Not like that all day that you weren't a fan
Absolutely
of.
Absolutely not.
All right. Well, Jeff has some Founders Brewery fun facts, and he's going to take us through a little Founders history here.
Make it fun.
Make sure they're fun.
I have this like pamphlet that I picked up. I bought all 5 beers today at Total Wine and More, and
what'd the checker say? Make any comment?
No.
All right.
I had a full cartload. I mean, it was like, yeah, why are you buying all this beer? But I'm used to that. So they got this whole pamphlet that tells the history of Founders, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, it's been around since 1997, which by craft beer standards is a pretty long time. I think that's, what, 18 years? And it turns out like they started out making kind of very mainstream beers. Like, I don't know if somebody told them how they need to make beer to sell to the masses. I don't know, but whatever they did the first few years, it didn't work. They almost went bankrupt, and it got to the point where they just said, screw it. You know, if we're going to go bankrupt, let's make beer how we want to make it. And so they totally like pivoted their whole business and started making beer how they wanted to make it. And that's when they kind of took off. And it, you know, it's a slow process. It took years. But they were really one of the founders. I mean, they were the founder, the pioneer of bourbon barrel aged beer. And that was in 2003. And so they started, you know, making beer in bourbon barrel, the process. And so, you know, since then they've expanded, you know, tremendously, moved into a couple new breweries. The last couple of years they started making canned beer. They've seen exponential growth. All of their beers are very highly rated. And, you know, like we said, they're from Michigan. Now they're in 37 states, just now available in California, which I'm happy to be enjoying this beer tonight. But it's just, you know, this is one of the most popular breweries in the U.S. And they've seen, like we said, extreme growth the last couple of years. So very cool story.
Yeah, I was on their site earlier today and looking at their brewery and their tap room restaurant, and they have a really good setup. Next time I'm up that way, going to have to definitely check out Founders.
Next time you go to a Lions game.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, it's time for us to take our break. When we come back, we have three more beers from Founders to try. And before that, we're going to give a shot at elderberry beer from Stone Brewing Company's Stochasticity series. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, then you should probably know that we have a website, beeroftheday.com, and it's there that we post these beers each day as the Beer of the Day. We feature a beer every day. And if you are a member of the website, or you can just swing by every day if you want, but if you sign up, then we'll email it to you or send it to your phone as a text message, and you can enjoy the featured Beer of the Day each day. Also, you could like us on Facebook, and we post it there each day. We currently have 2,442 followers, and you could be the 2,443rd.
Or fourth.
Fourth, yeah. We're on Twitter, at Beer of the Day, Facebook, /TheBeerOfTheDay, and on Instagram, at Beer of the Day site. So you can follow us all over on social media. Also, we want to hear from you. If you listen to this show, and a lot of you do, I have stats for it. People don't really write in too much, but we'd like to hear your opinion on the show. If you have a beer that you've had lately that you think we should seek out, we'd like to hear that also. So send us an email, feedback@beeroftheday.com, or if you go to the website, you can leave a comment right underneath on the podcast page. This week, anybody who posts a comment of any kind about this show on Facebook, Twitter, the website, or email, I will put your name in a hat, and the winner will get a family six-pack of the initial version one of the Beer of the Day coaster.
The initial run.
Yes. I'll hold it up to the camera here so everybody can see it. These are high quality cardboard coasters, and they could be yours. Just send us an email.
Not your father's coaster.
Welcome back. That song means it's time for our Strange Brew segment, where we find the strangest beer in the store and try it so you don't have to. Now, a lot of times it's the Lips of Faith series. If it's not the Lips of Faith series, then it's Stochasticity series from Stone, and that's the case tonight. Your Father Smelt of Elderberries is the name of this beer. 10.3%. 50 IBUs. This is an ale inspired by medieval England. So this is a kind of what they would drink back in the Middle Ages.
I'm just immediately struck by the color.
Yeah, the red.
Red.
Like a blood red almost.
I was going to say ruby red.
Ruby red, yeah.
Was the first thing I thought of when I looked at the color. As they hold it up the light, a little more orange, but it's definitely got a very red color to it.
All those elderberries.
What is an elderberry? I've had elderberry.
It's pie. Slightly, it's been around a little bit longer than youngerberry.
I love them younger berries.
Your father smelt of elderberries.
Is there a fish smell here?
No, I like the smell a lot. Very pleasant. Just very kind of no subtle.
Then. I mean, I smell fruit. Blueberries.
Blueberry,
maybe
yeah.
That's an elderberry that I'm smelling. They could be similar. I'm not sure.
It smells sweet. It smells a little bit sugary.
And this is the newest beer in this series. I think this just came out within the last week or two.
I saw it in the store today for the first time, and I'm always looking for new ones. So
it smells like cotton candy to me.
Well, maybe this is a series that, you know, I think with Stone Beers, we have overall enjoyed this series. It's very experimental. Some are hit or miss, but I think overall they've had a lot of strange brews, but there's been some pretty tasty ones from the Stochasticity project.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Master of Disguise, that golden stout.
Yep.
And then that Hi-Fi Lo-Fi mixtape was the most recent one. That was a solid beer.
Yeah, this is the series that got me back into Stone beers. I was not a huge Stone fan, and I think having this series opened my eyes to
They're very unstone. Stone. That's the thing, is they're not
hop forward and in your face.
But I'm just saying it has opened my eyes to Stone. We went to the Stone Brewery a couple months ago, and I have a newfound appreciation, and I like to think part of that is from this series.
I think they've done a little reinvention on their part. I think we kind of got bogged down. I had had enough Stone IPA. I had had enough Arrogant Bastard. That's about what they had, right? They've really have expanded their horizons. They've came out with new versions of their pale ale of
Ruination.
They have this series where they're trying new things all the time. They come out with a lot of one-off beers that are good. The Points Unknown IPA was great. Hi-Fi Lo-Fi. They have a lot of collaborations. Like Points Unknown was a collaboration. Yep. They have several different collaborations they've come out with. And so they really have varied their lineup quite a bit. So they're giving you new, like Woot Stout, you know?
Oh, so good. One of the best beers I've had this year.
And it's just kind of one of their collaboration beers they come out with. And it's amazing the different ones they came out with. Now, I saw one today called Crime, and then next to it on the shelf, Punishment. The crime, I think, is that it costs $20 a bottle. The punishment is it's one of these beers that is so, I just can imagine by reading the description on the side of it, pepper, you know, hot pepper, jalapeno. I think it's going to be tough to palate it. And we'll have to do it at some point in time, but not looking forward to that one. This one, however, I enjoy quite a bit. We already talked about the color. It's ruby red. The head has since dissipated.
I got to say, I'm extremely disappointed. I feel like they tried to make it bitter and hoppy and sweet, and it did not blend well at all. It seems like they're two competing flavors. It's not balanced, and it tastes as soon as the initial taste clear my palate, I get like sawdust. It's not enjoyable to me.
I think they did a great job. I enjoy it. The berry notes, they're not too sweet to me. We've had a lot of berry beers where it's sweetness and syrupy. I do get a little bit of that bitterness versus the berry, but overall, I think it's pretty well balanced.
I get a little like cinnamon or some type of, there's some raisin and cinnamon a little bit in here.
That's the sawdust.
Well, I'm not discounting the sawdust because when I swallow it, it creates a little bit of a dryness in the back of my throat that does have a little bit of a sawdust characteristic to it. So,
these immature assholes.
Pretty much.
No.
I don't mind this. I think maybe it's a little too much blueberry for me, but other than that, I don't have any complaints.
I like it. I think it's a little, it has a medicinal flavor, but I agree with Andy. This is a solid beer. It's a medieval style beer. I don't know what that means.
Exactly. Medieval?
I think it's medieval, or like medieval. Maybe you could say that.
Just medieval.
Medieval.
That's what I said. Medieval.
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 Well, he said medicinal first, and then he said medieval, and it like blended together. No. I understood what you were saying, Jeff.
Do you know what you were saying?
Yes.
Okay. You like Knights of the Round Table, right? Medieval.
I like this beer. It's not my favorite from this project, but I think this is a solid one of these fruit flavored beers. Not bad. It is medicinal. I kind of like it. I would drink this again.
10.3% though is no joke. It's a little, it can catch up to you, I think.
Yeah. But so, I would say for a strange brew though, it's pretty good.
I think it fits the bill for that.
Definitely.
For sure.
Sorry, yeah. Guys. I don't agree.
Well, I'm kind of on Steve's page. For me, I taste the alcohol and I don't know. It just doesn't taste all that balanced to me. You know, it's got a lot of malt characteristics to it and it does have some berry flavor, but for me, it just doesn't sit quite right. I don't know. It's, I appreciate what they're trying to do, but for me, this isn't one that I would probably buy again.
I think you and Steve just don't like elderberries.
Could be true. I don't know if that I've ever had an elderberry, but
generally speaking, I'm a huge elderberry fan.
BS.
All right, well, let's move into the next Founders beer. We have the Dirty Bastard Scotch Ale, not to be confused with Arrogant Bastard IPA. From
a totally different brewery.
From Stone, the brewery we just 2,000 had.
2,000 miles away.
Yes.
So Scotch Ale, this is not a style of beer I drink a lot of, but we had very recently from Oscar Blues,
Old Chub.
Stereo. Which was a solid beer. One of the better Scotch Ales I've had. So I haven't had a sip yet, but I would like to compare this to what we thought of Old Chub.
We'll come right over here. I'll let you know.
Can you queue that up on the...
But we can go to the website, library. Archives, and you can hear any past episode of the show, including the Great American Colorado Beer Show.
Or pull up our review of Old Chub.
So just on the color of this beer, it actually kind of reminds me of the Stone beer that we just had. It's a little darker, but it's definitely got some very red ruby.
It does
ruby color to it.
Maybe a little more brown than red than the last one, but it's very similar. It even has that thin head on it.
I would say, according to Jeff's glass, it's very well balanced.
Absolutely,
because he's balancing it. Oh,
I don't think it's balancing when it's on 2 points.
I like to see the full contrast of the colors.
Okay. Anyways.
You're about to see a puddle on the table.
So these Scotch Ales, you know, they have kind of that peaty malt quality to them. And with this one, I get a lot of that. So it's not like Scotch flavor. It's just the peat smoke flavor, right?
I get more peat than the smoke flavor. Like,
right, but like the peatiness is there.
That earthy, those earthy undertones, you know, kind of not danky, because that's kind of, I attribute that to hops, but I definitely agree that it's got kind of that Scotch flavor to it.
I think this would make a great like black and tan. I'm not sure which one it would substitute for, because it's not black or tan necessarily.
I think you're saying that because of the English qualities of this beer. This is a kind of a, well, it's Scotch ale, but it really is more of a...
It is English style.
English style beer. It's, you know, an English strong ale.
It's funny, you know, this is an English strong ale essentially, but now it's like not that strong, you know? True. Like with the beers that are available to us now, it's kind of on the lower end of that.
8.5% is nothing to sneeze at though.
No, it's not. But as far as boldness goes and alcohol goes, it's not at the upper end.
But it does have that darky grittiness, that kind of bricky red taste. It has, you know, this isn't a beer that you can just give to anyone off the street. This is a darker characteristic that you kind of have to be in the mood for.
For sure. You know, if you want to turn somebody on to craft beer, this is not the beer to give them. But I really enjoy there's some smokiness here and some peatiness, like you said, of a, you know, like if you drink Scotch. But I like the smoky flavor. It's smooth. It's 8.5%, but I like this. I mean, I'm having a hard time remembering what Old Chub tastes like, but I think both of these were pretty solid.
I like this better than Old Chub.
Yeah, this is a little less, I don't want to call it astringent, but it's like, it's not as overpowering. It's more mellow.
For me, it just seems like a very malty beer that they kind of focus on.
Yeah.
And that really shines through in this beer. You don't, I mean, it does have a bitter to counteract all that malt, but for me, it's more of a malty beer. Definitely a very English style, and I think they did a very good job with it.
I think it's good that it's not overly sweetened, because then you really can taste the malt.
Yes. They haven't pulled any punches here, really. They really let it be what it's going to be. They haven't really gone out of their way to make this palatable for everybody, and I think that's a great thing. Andy, do you have any other thoughts?
No.
I saw you talking to yourself over there like you
had something. I was singing Let It Be, actually. Oh.
Good right. Song.
Yes.
All right, let's move into the next one. Founders Porter, 6.5%. We're backing off the alcohol a little bit, but I'm guessing this will be a darker beer. So that's the reasoning for those playing along at home. And it's great with these smaller bottles. We have two pourers, so everyone gets their beer faster.
It's yeah. More efficient.
When I bought these today, every one of these was a six-pack. One of them, it must have been the breakfast stout that's coming up next, was a four-pack, I think.
What was it? What were they running you?
Cost-wise?
Yes.
I don't know. It was...
Thanks for that information.
Not helpful. I
or
know.
Did you have to jog up and down the aisles to get it? Maybe they were.
I don't
like
think it was.
Was it less than Boulevard?
I think it was. Like my bill when I checked out was not that high.
Well, all those Boulevard beers were four packs, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff doesn't look at prices. What he lives about, in Los Angeles. He shops at Whole Foods.
How about the
paycheck?
How about the Oscar Blues four pack?
Oscar
cans?
Blues. Oh yeah, like the Gubna or the 1050. Pricey. per ounce. Pricey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember these being super expensive. I can't remember. I think the six pack was.
I don't think they're maybe $9 or $10
and somewhere like $8.99.
I mean, I'd say higher than normal, but for a brewery of this,
not like Sculpin price.
Yeah, for sure. So it didn't. There was nothing that registered as being out of the norm.
All right. So let's get onto this beer. Color wise,
black,
almost black.
Little red highlights
peeking through. I get a smoky smell to it.
Can head.
Like a burnt smoky smell.
Burnt smoke, really dark, toasted, burnt malts. And the flavor is kind of similar.
I found the other part of the black and tan I was looking for here.
Wow.
Are you going to experiment after this?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
So on the nose, I definitely get you definitely get all that smokiness that we already talked about, but I also get a little bit of sweetness that kind of counteracts that. Some caramel notes, or, you know, not necessarily cocoa nibs, because that still has a little bit of bitterness, but like just a chocolate nose.
I do get that. On the aftertaste, I do get some of that chocolate cocoa nib bitterness too. Just a hint of it in the aftertaste.
Back on the coffee episode a long time ago, we had one that was a smoked porter, I believe. And I can't remember. I remember it was like one of the smokiest beers I ever had. And this one is comparing to that right now.
I agree. Once you said that, I can't remember what brand it was.
Yeah, thanks for that helpful.
I know.
Hey, I'm going to the Beer of the Day website right now.
Pull it up for us.
I'm
going
to pull up the coffee beer episode, which was number 2 of the official podcast episodes.
So some porters, they get a little, I'll call them plain. Like they're made for people that don't really like the dark beer. But this has all those like just natural qualities of a porter that you would expect. A little burnt malt, you know, pretty easy drinker on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, there's a little smokiness there, but it's not overpowering at all.
You know what? This one has a lot of the qualities of these imperial stouts that we try. They're very smoky, very dark, very alcoholic, too alcoholic in some cases. This is down to 6.5%. You're getting all these darker characteristics of these heavier beers,
yeah,
without having to drink a 12% beer. It's half of that.
And I would say, I would call it like a an introductory porter. It's one where, you know, if you want, if you have somebody that thinks they might like porters, I'd say try this. If you like this, there's a lot of directions you can go from here, but this is the base. This is where.
I don't know about introductory porter. This is a lot of bold flavors, though. This is.
But that's what porters. That's the definition.
Yeah, I think this is maybe too dark of a porter.
But I think the lighter ones aren't really porters. I mean, they are by definition, but they're not really trying to be.
I think if you give this to somebody and they can handle it, then they'll be able. That's the path to go down.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool places they can go.
I think there's some gateway porters that are a little more chocolatey, a little sweeter, which are very common also, which isn't this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty robust. I like a good porter, but this is strong. I mean, I like this beer.
It's strong flavors.
It is, but you give this to somebody who's not, doesn't have the same refined palate, they're not going to like this.
Maybe they're not, but if they don't, then they'll never get to the next level. They won't want to.
I think this beer is really complex. I mean, there's more than just the smokiness here.
But before you give somebody that Imperial Smoked Porter or Stout,
yes,
you give them this. And then if you like this, then we can go to the next level.
That's correct. It's the same family line as that, those heavy Imperial Stouts.
I'm really interested to see how this compares to the next beer.
I think this one is just a very, I'm actually pretty impressed with this beer. It's got a lot of bold flavors, but it's not anything that's going to... really knock you down. I mean,
and it's got this velvety texture, you know, a little chocolatey note. Velvet's the word I really comes
to mind. I agree. That was the first thing I thought of too. I mean, this beer is just, I don't know. I really like it. It's got some chocolatey notes, a little bit of coffee on the aftertaste, and it's smoky up front. You know,
I can pick out some, like, I mean, pepper, like black pepper. Some kind of more a little bit earthy taste, almost like some maybe, you know, heavier herbs.
Right.
I almost think that if I was going to try and have like a pepper beer, like in terms of sriracha beer or something like that, if there was just a tiny little
Never
hint.
Never again.
If there was a tiny hint of heat to this beer, I don't think it would be that bad at all. I think it would work.
I could see that. As much as I hate that idea, I can see what you're talking about. Couple questions. If you're going to pair this beer with food, what do you think this pairs well with?
I was actually thinking about that a little bit ago and a little bit ago, and I was thinking like a charred steak, but then I was like, well, maybe that's like kind of overdone on like.
So you say charred steak. I think you get those like espresso rub steaks. You ever done that?
Yeah.
With this would be great.
But then I almost thought I want to think of something like a little bit more. Kind of bright, a little more something, a little more fruity to go with this.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Something kind of, I mean, I can see both, but for me, like this beer has a lot of flavor on its own, and I was thinking of something a little, maybe a little bit lighter, a little brighter.
I don't think fruit would go.
I'm not saying fruity, but just something a little. I don't know.
What about like chocolate cake with like raspberry?
Oh yeah,
that's what I was thinking. Like a dessert.
A dessert where the dessert provides the sweetness, and this provides that the contrast to it.
Like some grilled vegetables.
No, dessert.
No, I think dessert and chocolate's the easy answer. But if you want to talk about a meal.
A meal, yeah.
I like the steak idea, and I don't know about vegetables, maybe.
Some grilled squash or asparagus.
Some hearty vegetable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like red meats really where I'm going with this, I think.
Definitely. Okay, this really makes me want to. So, in Jeff's segment, when he was talking about the history of Founders, he was talking about how they pioneered the bourbon barrel aging process. I can't wait to try a stronger beer in that line, because if they can do this beer, then imagine a stronger beer that's bourbon barrel aged. Oh, we got to get that next.
Say this one's not bourbon barrel. This is just
No, I know, but I'm just saying that without all that, I mean you take it to that next level, and I can't wait to try that. All right, next beer, we have the Breakfast Stout, 8.3%. Now normally I would expect the Breakfast Stout to be kind of the lighter of the beers, and then the porter. Breakfast stouts are usually a little on the lighter side. You know, when you're in the morning, you're not really
Well, I don't think that's the way to look at it. I think it's more like oatmeal.
But they didn't call it oatmeal stout.
No, I know, but instead they call it breakfast.
Well, breakfast means morning.
Double chocolate coffee oatmeal stout. That sounds pretty hefty to me.
Well, it does.
It's got a real thick head on it.
Pretty much the same color. Maybe a little bit darker than
the last one, but there's still, I mean, with these glasses, you almost always get some highlights, but there's definitely a little see-through there.
And the head is definitely darker. We have, it's dark tan, but it's pretty much a brown head. Very dark.
I mean, on the aroma, I just get a ton of coffee.
Smells like a pot of black coffee.
That's breakfast right there. Absolutely.
I get coffee and I also get oatmeal. Like I smell oats on it. Like just that smell comes through to me. I don't know. I get the coffee and like an oats smell for sure. Oats,
yeah.
I can't wait to try this beer.
I just had a sip. It's phenomenal.
So the oatmeal stouts, you know, I tend to like, but they do give that gelatiny effect. Typically, I haven't had a sip of this, but
go ahead and taste it, and you nailed it right there.
It's good.
It is very thick. It's rich.
Like when you have oatmeal and it's been sitting in the bowl a little too long, it's that gelatinous blob. That's awesome. In a beer, that like it's not that thick, obviously.
Yeah, but I know you're not trying to say it's a negative thing. It works for
yes,
the beer.
Yes.
I love this beer.
So compare it to the last beer.
Yeah.
The last beer was dark roasted malt, which this beer has.
But not as malty though. This beer is not as malty.
Is it more bitter?
No, I was gonna go the other way. Like for me, this I definitely don't get any of the smokiness that I had in the porter.
It's less smoky.
There's smokiness, but much less.
You know, I get more coffee.
Coffee and the chocolate.
Coffee, a little bit of chocolate.
And the thickness of the oatmeal.
I mean, they describe it perfectly with the breakfast stout. Like if you had a cup of coffee, a black cup of coffee, a bowl of oatmeal, and I don't know, you throw in a little chocolate for whatever. I mean, that's what you're drinking right here.
But the smokiness that this beer has is from that like roasted coffee bean flavor. I mean, I used to work at a coffee house and they roasted the beans there. And that's what you smell. That's what you taste. I mean, it just gets in your nasal cavities. It's in there.
This definitely has
it's
that.
It's a different smokiness than the other one. I get a lot of the chocolate. I get, but not sweet chocolate. It's just that little bit of bitter chocolate.
Yeah, like dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Semi-sweet.
This is really good.
Maybe baker's chocolate.
So, Founders, I've known about them for a while. And the beers I have looked forward to most are this one and the KBS, the Kentucky Breakfast Stout, which we didn't do today. We'll have to do it on another show. But it's this beer aged in bourbon barrels.
I'm looking forward to that. Like when we find that one.
I bet it's a little higher alcohol. I bet it is. It's a little bit mellower on the flavor.
Yep.
I
think it's going to be awesome.
I don't want that.
What?
I like this beer. I don't want this beer to be more alcoholic or less flavor. I think it's just the right amount of richness. It's very velvety.
I agree to disagree.
Thick.
We're gonna make your eat your words.
I think you're that's probably why they didn't discontinue this and just make the other one.
True.
You know, sometimes you have a beer and it's good enough that it should remain a beer. So I mean, like Coronado, Old Scallywag, barrel aged, right?
So good.
Yeah, really good beer, but we couldn't get the regular non-barrel-aged one. They don't even do it anymore.
Scallywag.
Old Scallywag.
My point is, like, how often do we hear, like Andy will say a lot, you know, it's overly sweetened to make up for the high alcohol content. And I'm not saying this isn't not overly high alcohol content, 8.3%. This beer does not taste sweet.
No.
Not at all. So I'm drinking a beer that's 8.3%.
We'll do on a future show in the near future. We will do a side by side breakfast out against KBS and see how we feel about it. Because I think that'll be a great comparison. It's the same beer aged in
one aged, one isn't.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to that for sure. Okay, so if anyone is listening to this show that is a Founders fan and lives in the Founders area, Grand Rapids, Michigan, they have a lot of events at their brewery, and I just wanted to mention those real quick. They have live music there every Thursday and Saturday night. Open mic night is Tuesday night. This Thursday, this podcast comes out on Tuesday the 13th. So 2 days from now, it's the 15th, Thursday, James and the Drifters, 9:30. So if you want to check that out, go for it. And then they have their Founders Halloween party, October 31st, 9 p.m. Cost $5 to get in. Hope that doesn't break the bank.
We should go. $900 airplane ticket and $5 to get in.
Yeah.
I would have gone except for the $5.
I think we can probably, if we decide to fly there for the party.
Maybe they'll get us in.
I think we can probably get in. All right, let's recap the beers we've had, and then we will try and figure out what our favorite beer of the day was.
Okay, so we started off with the all-day IPA, the Session IPA. All these beers obviously are from Founders. Founders.
Not a fish.
Well, we have the Smelt beer, too. So, and then we had the we moved on to the Centennial IPA. And then we had our strange brew, the Your Father Smelt Like Elderberries from Stone Brewing Company.
I see what you did there. Smelt like a fish.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah, I know.
He's only been doing it for like the last hour.
Yeah. And then we had the Dirty Bastard Scotch Ale, the Founders Porter, and the Breakfast Stout. And we will spin the pin. And it looks like it's Jeff to start.
All right. I'll go first.
You will.
Yes, you will.
The pen determined that,
I am
Jeff.
The chosen one.
Don't make it sound like you came up with that idea.
So I go first so that you guys have to copy me. So overall, I was impressed with Founders. I had never had Founders beer before tonight. This is a really prominent craft brewery in the U.S. Never had it before tonight. I like them all. My beer of the day is the Breakfast Stout. I really liked, I'm a big coffee drinker, and I loved the bitter black coffee flavor from this beer. Had kind of a, what I would call a semi-sweet. Steve said a Baker's sweet. I like the coffee and the bitter sweet flavors. All pretty good beers, but I have to go with, Breakfast Stout is my beer of the day.
Steven.
I'm going to take the opposing viewpoint. I was not very impressed with these beers. Sorry, Founders. I look forward to trying more of yours. The last few kind of brought it around for me.
This was though. We had all of them.
I want to they have a lot more. But I want to try some more and keep going here. Give you guys some more chances. No surprise, I'm not an IPA fan, so I really did not like either of those. You guys all know I don't like IPAs in general. But those two I really did not appreciate. For my beer of the day, I'm going to take the Porter. The Breakfast Stout was great. It was a very, very, very good beer. The Porter, I just thought, I like porters, and it was extremely complex. There was a lot of flavors in there. It had that nice velvety mouthfeel. I think that was a really good porter.
I like it.
All right. So I guess it's on to me now. I'm going to go back with Jeff. I've had Founders before. We've had them. They were at the Sierra Nevada Beer Festival that we went to the past 2 years. And, I've tried a couple of theirs, and I've always been fairly impressed with what they've brought. But today, the Breakfast Stout just did it for me. That was, it had the black coffee, a little bit of bitterness, a very good stout flavor. It was just very well balanced. And for me, that's the beer of the day.
All right. I am going to take the Dirty Bastard Scotch Ale. I've had a lot of Scotch Ales in my time. Old Chub, they mentioned. Moylan's. We've had a few on some previous shows. And I thought this one was the most drinkable of them. It still had those darker, malty characteristics. It's not a beer for everybody. But they kept this one with just enough sweetness and just enough balance so that it was drinkable, and I enjoyed that one a lot.
So it's rare that I get to hold the baton here and make the final decision, and it's a tough decision to make because all three of these last beers. The IPAs, all the IPA, I'll say that that was my favorite sessionable IPA I've ever had, but I still didn't like it.
You aren't going to take it as your beer of the day.
And the Centennial, it had a little bit too much bitterness, whatever.
I think that we get biased because we're so used to West Coast IPAs.
But I'm also, you know what? I'm not somebody that's looking for a sessionable beer.
No, I'm just talking about their IPAs in general.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're not on the same wavelength as them.
I think Founder needs to step up their IPA game because we're at a table of IPA fans here, excluding myself, and no one picked your IPA as beer of the day.
Right, but if you take the beer of the day guys on the East Coast and bring them over here and have them do the same tasting, they're going to love that beer. So I think it's a little bit...
The East Coast sell?
It's a little West Coast biased on our part, and we're going to have to... It's a product of us not getting enough East Coast beers to try. And so we're not, our palates aren't accustomed to it. And then it ends up affecting the ratings here.
So of the last three, it's a tough decision because I really wanted to pick the Scotch Ale because that was really good. It was one of the better examples of that kind of beer that I've had.
Definitely.
But I have to go with the Breakfast Stout. It really, it checked a lot of boxes, I'll say. I like an oatmeal stout when it's done well, and this is done perfectly. We are going to do, in the near future, we will do this against the KBS because we have to. It's just such a good beer. The chocolate notes, the oatmeal stout, that thickness that comes with it. It's a beer you kind of have to chew, but you enjoy it when you're doing it. So
I can't believe how they didn't pull any punches with it. It is dark and coffee and bitter, and
it's great.
It totally works.
And it works, and it's not trying to put sweetness in it so that you can sell it to people because it's drinkable. Yeah. No, they're just doing their thing.
It's definitely a very bold beer, and yeah.
I love it.
Yep.
Me too.
Beer of the day. Three against 1-1.
All right. Well, can't argue with that. So when we close out these shows, I'm always trying to find a tie-in for the music. And so we will close it out with Grand Rapids, Michigan's own Del Shannon. As I walk along, I wonder. And we will say goodnight for this evening. And thank you for listening and invite you to check out our website, beeroftheday.com. If you're on Twitter, follow us at Beer of the Day, Facebook at facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay, and on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. We'll see you next time. For Andy Hamilton, Jeff Miller, Steve Williamson, Brandon Hofer, I'm Dallas Helliker. We'll see you next time right here on the Beer of the Day podcast.
Thanks, Founders.